Greetings in the name of Jesus. Good to be here. It's again a blessing to be able to share God's Word openly, freely. One thing that stood out to me, this is not related to the message at all, but in our Sunday school lesson, in the verses not recorded in our quarterly, it says that after Gideon and his servant were down at the Midianites' camp, after they heard what they had to say down there, it says that Gideon worshipped. And also I was made to think of Job. After all the calamity that happened to Job, it says that he worshipped. I don't know, I had the question of what does worship, how does that play into us serving the Lord, us or God granting us victory? I'll leave you to answer that, I guess, but something to think about. Worship. Truly worship God. Well, you've seen the message title, Taking Care of Business. I want to relate to you the background to this title and some of the message. And this all took place within the last week. And I really didn't know what I wanted to share. I was kind of, nothing came to mind. I prayed and asked God to bring to my mind. And this is what happened. And I thought, oh, that would apply to us as well. Taking care of business. I'll give you some names first because I can't relate this without giving you names. Probably none of these people you will know. Chris is a lady, manager of a mobile home park. Richard is the boss. He's the one that signs the checks. And then there's a lady by the name of Cassie that is the dispatch lady at the mobile home factory that I was supposed to pick up a mobile home from, deliver it to Richard and to Chris. I was supposed to have done this on Monday, and this was a COD unit. In other words, they will not let it go unless it's paid for. And so, yeah, Friday a week ago, I checked with Cassie. I said, is the house paid for? Because I was supposed to deliver it Monday. She said, no, it's not paid for. And so I called Chris, the manager, and I said, it's not paid for. Okay, I will call Richard. And that's about always her response. I'll call him and let him know. I'm never able to get to Richard. She does her job well in protecting him, I guess. And so I said, well, I said, I can shift. I said, I have a Tuesday, Wednesday delivery that I can move up a day. And then I'll deliver yours on Wednesday. Oh, that would be great. So I did, and of course you know how the weather was last week, and come Tuesday, it still was not paid for. So I called Chris again. I have a free day on Thursday. And I said, the weather looks better on Thursday. We'll do it Thursday. Okay, that's great. Wednesday afternoon came. Still no check, not paid for. And so I told Chris, I said, if this doesn't happen on Thursday, it's going to be another couple of weeks because I'm booked. I have things that I need to do. Okay, I'll tell him. And so then Wednesday afternoon, I'm calling Cassie several times. Is it paid for? No, it's not paid for. And he was going to wire transfer the money. And I don't know how that all works, but it sounds like it's pretty instant to me, transfer the money from his bank to the manufacturer's bank. And so I said, well, what's going to happen here? I asked Cassie that. She said, well, even if he transfers that money on Wednesday, she said, we will not actually get the money within a day's time. But she said, what he can do is he will get a confirmation number. Have him send that confirmation number to us, and then we will release the house. So I called Chris again and told her what was going on. Okay, I will tell him. And then in my last conversation with Cassie, she said, Marcus, why are you doing this? And I said, well, the answer is kind of twofold. I said, the first reason is, that's kind of who I am. I said, I like to make sure that things kind of flow and get taken care of. That helps them, helps me. And she said, but you are just a transporter. You are not responsible to make sure that this gets paid for. I said, I know. But I said, this is where I need to shine, I think is the word I use. I said, I need to take care of my customers to the best of my ability. Because if I don't, somebody else will. She said, I know. I hear what you're saying. No check. The house is still in Napanee. Taking care of business. Somebody dropped the ball. Intentionally or no, I don't know that. But somebody did not follow through. We're going to look at several things. And I'm going to say I am by no means I have no degree in business. There are people here that know more about business than I do. But these are just some things that stood out to me and things that I think we can all take to heart. Whether you run a business, a factory, whether you're the boss or a group leader, whether you run a household, we are all, I think I could say, we are all in business to a certain degree. And there are things that we can take to heart and use in our business, whatever that may be. And the first one covers probably many of the others, is integrity. Integrity, what does that really mean? Well, the dictionary had a couple of different definitions, but the one I liked and the one that I think it applies here is a firm adherence to a code of especially moral values. A firm adherence. Adherence is like adhere means to stick, like glue, that you stick to that firmly. Adherence to a code of, says especially moral values. Honesty, integrity, a lot of those things. How do you do that in a society that has lost many of its moral values? Stealing is okay as long as you don't get caught. If you need it and they don't, it's okay. Just take it. Cursing is a common thing. You hear it all the time. Recently, probably been a year or more ago, I was in the presence of a man that had several young children with him, his children, cussing all the time. I couldn't hardly believe it. It's common. Cheating on your partners is accepted. I overheard a conversation between the two men, and they said, the one asked the other, said, are you married? No, he said, I'm seeing about four different ladies trying to decide which one I want to get married to. Just normal. Divorce is almost expected at some point. Sometimes they ask us, how long have you been married? I don't know, 24, 35, however many years, to the same woman. It's almost expected that sometime in a person's married life, they'll get divorced and marry somebody else. Integrity. Honesty. Keeping your word, even if it costs you extra. How willing are you to be honest if it's going to make you look bad? Making it right, even if you break or damage something, be it intentional or be it an accident, make it right. Don't think that no one will notice. someone will notice sometime, maybe not right away, but somewhere along the line, someone will notice. You've heard the expression, wasn't me. Probably you that work with the kids' club. Wasn't me. And I always use the expression, okay, Mr. Nobody was here again. Nobody did it. Yeah, I could relate a few incidences, but I won't. But grandchildren, wasn't me. I didn't do it. I didn't do it. When you know that one of the three is guilty. How much do retail stores figure goes out the door unpaid? I don't know. Does somebody have a figure on that percentage? Theft amongst retail stores. It's pretty high. I talked to somebody one time. I think he was worked in security. He walked around the store looking like a normal person, and he was looking for shoplifters. And he said most of that is actually done by employees, and a lot of it is done during the holiday season because there are part-time employees there that are not really dedicated to the store. Honesty, making it right. Punctuality. And here's where I just have to say, I'm guilty. Yesterday, there was a man that was not very happy with me. I was supposed to show up there before noon, and I didn't, and he was not happy with me. I told him I was sorry. But punctuality. Don't waste other people's time. The expression was, and this is an area that I try to be, when I'm delivering a house, I almost always call ahead, and I have a GPS unit that gives me the miles to my destination, and I can pretty closely figure what time I will be there. There are quite often that I'll be there within 2 minutes of when I told them I would be there, when I'm yet an hour away. But one man a number of years ago made this comment. He said, if Marcus is late, you know that he had some problems somewhere along the line. Punctuality, be on time. And I'll give you an opposite example of that. This happened recently where another company was to deliver a house, and they had told them about what time they would be there. And the dealer went out to meet them, and he waited 2 hours, and the house still was not there. So he finally left. He said, later I found out, this was during the summer when there was long daylight hours. He said, I found out they showed up about 10 o'clock. They dropped the house and left, not even where it was supposed to go. Punctuality. There's no reason for that. In our day of cell phones, there's no reason that a person cannot call and say, I'm running late, or I'll be there at such and such a time. Be punctual. Don't waste other people's time. That's not cool, we would say. Be considerate of others. And this we could put in, be considerate of your customers if you are in that kind of business. The expression is, if you don't take care of your customers, somebody else will. Take care of them. I know they can get grouchy. I know they can get a little irritable. Sometimes they get a little demanding, unreasonable. But take care of them to the best of your ability. I had a lady, Friday. And she was really not a customer. But taking care of people around you. I was in a mobile home park, and I was removing a home out of the park. And I had pulled it off of the lot and had gotten it out on the street. Then I stopped to check everything out, make sure everything was okay. And a lady came out, and she said, I was parked beside her car. The front of the mobile home was about even with her car. And there was distance there that I could have walked between her car and the mobile home. And she came out, and in a kind way, she was not very happy. She said, you know, if you would have come and asked, I would have moved the car. And I said, I'm okay. I said, I'm out. And there was another person there that was watching on all sides. I said, I'm okay. I'm straightened out. I'm going straight at this point. Well, she I said, I don't want my car damaged. And I said, I won't damage your car. And she said, well, what's going to happen when you get down to the corner? And I said, I'm straight at this point. And I said, by the time I get to the corner, I will be way past your car. Well, what about when you turn, you're going to swing into my car? And I said, no, I didn't tell her this. She didn't know that when I turn, I'm going to be swinging away from her car and not towards it. And so I just put my hand on her shoulder and I said, ma'am, I said, I've been doing this for 24 years. I said, I know what I'm doing. I said, your car will not get damaged. Take care of the people around you. Try to explain to them to the best of your ability. And like I said, sometimes they're unreasonable, but do the best you can. If a customer seems to be grouchy, irritable, or ornery, you may not know what they've been through before they came to you. So treat them with respect. Associate with good people. This goes both ways. Associate with good people, whether you're working for them or they're working for you. And I know you can't always be real picky, especially if you're hiring somebody. You don't know what kind of person they might be. But associate with good people as much as possible. And that is in business and also in your personal life. Honest people, those that you can trust. And again, not tooting my own horn. I hope you don't take it that way. But I have at times people, a dealer will mail me a check for the house. And those are not small checks. And so that way I can, and I wish Richard would have done this. And I suggested it to him. I said, have him overnight the check to me. I'll take it directly and hand it to the lady at the dispatch office. But I have done that in the past. Large checks, several hundred thousand dollars, and carried them because they trusted me. Associate with good people. The saying is, choose your friends with care. You become what they are. And that is very true. You know, someone says, well, it was the people that I was with. Well, why were you with those people? Choose your friends carefully. Good employees can make you or break you. And that may be true the other way around as well. A good boss. If you associate with a boss, you work for somebody that's dishonest, you're going to be associated with them. I've made that expression already. When people say, oh, you know, they don't have too much good to say about a certain person. And I say, well, don't put me in the same basket with them. I only work for them. I don't call him an employee, but my main escort, the guy that's always with me when I escort, I have two. One all the time and then a second one if I have a 16 wide, because then I need two. But he is a good person, not a Christian man, but he's honest. He does his job well. I would miss him if he quit and went to escort for somebody else. Associate with good people. This next one, I don't know how many of you are going to be guilty here. Don't take too many coffee breaks or Pepsi breaks. And you that work in factories, you see this all the time. When a person has to go outside, they just get out the door and light up a cigarette. Then they walk slow so they can get all smoke before they have to go inside again. They're wasting time. Don't take too many coffee breaks. Make sure that your boss is getting what he's paying for you, what he's paying you for. Be clear in communication. Be sure that the other person understands what you're saying. Marjorie, I'm going to pick on you here a little bit. She probably knows already. This was partly my fault. Let's see if I can find it here. Marjorie texted me on Friday. It says, when you're ready, when you have a title for your message for Sunday for the bulletin, thanks. And I just texted back, taking care of business. Yesterday, Marjorie texted me, not a problem, just when you have a title. And text it, thanks. Not a rush at all, just a reminder. And I text her back, that is the title, taking care of business. Oh, okay, she said, I understand. Partly my fault. I should have said, this is the title or something. Be clear in your communication. How many times things get confused or messed up or maybe not taken care of as you wanted it to because your communication was not clear? We hear expressions like, oh, I thought you meant, you know, or you did not tell me. Children are pretty famous for that. They might ask you something, you would say, oh, I would rather you didn't. And they go ahead and do it, and then they say, well, you didn't tell me that I can't. Be clear in your communication. That is very helpful. Now we're going to go back over some of these and make some a little bit more spiritual applications and look at some scripture readings as well. Some business people of the Bible, they had to do business too, just like you and I do. Joseph, he became ruler. He had to figure out how much grain to save each year so they'll have enough for the 7 years of famine that were coming. He had to use some business smarts to be able to do that. Daniel, although we would say he maybe didn't work himself up because of what others saw in him, he worked himself up in the government and became somebody that was listened to and somebody that they took advice from. Paul, we know that he was a tent maker. He was a businessman. Then also I had to think of Lydia. It says she was a seller of purple, I think it says. She had to use some business smarts in order to be able to do that and make a profit. I mean, those of us that are in business, whether we work at a factory or whether we work out in the field, our goal is at least at some point to make some money. We can't get around that. Yes, we work with people, we serve people, but our goal is also to make some money. So we have to do that. And then I also thought of Jesus and his disciples. We know that Judas carried the bag. So there was some money, some common money there that was probably used for food. I don't know what all that was used for, but there was some business things involved there. So this is something that was in the Bible as well. Integrity. Psalm 41:12 said, and as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity and settest me before thy face forever. This was David speaking here. Thou upholdest me in mine integrity. We want to read a few verses out of 1 Samuel 12. You don't need to turn to these. The first five verses. And Samuel, this is when in Samuel's later years, he said unto all Israel, behold, I have hearkened unto your voice in all that ye said unto me, and have made a king over you. He had anointed, I think it was Solomon here as king. And now, behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed, and behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. He was known amongst them. Behold, here I am. Witness against me. Or he said, you tell me if any of these things are true or not true. Witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose ass have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith? and I will restore it to me, to you. In other words, he's saying, if you bring an accusation against me, I'm going to make it right. I will give it back. And they said, thou hast not defrauded us nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand. And he said unto him, the Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, and ye have not found aught in mine hand. And they answered, he is our witness. Samuel was a man with influence, with authority, yet he did not defraud. He did not take anything that was not his. He was a man of integrity. Daniel 1:8 says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. Daniel was also a man that worked himself up in authority, and he was trusted and looked up to. The next one is honesty. Daniel 12:3 says, and they that be wise, I think we can, without misusing this verse, we could say honest. And they that be honest shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. If we're honest, people will notice that. They certainly will. I remember a number of years ago, Mamie had been to the store, and she had gotten something that she put on the shelf underneath her cart. Mamie, you remember, what was that? Was that cat food or something that she put in underneath? And the cashier did not ring it up, and she went out and was putting things in her car, and she said, oh, she didn't ring this up. And she went back in. The lady remembered her. Because she was honest. People will remember that. Punctuality. Jesus was always on time. And some of you might argue this, even some of the people in Jesus' day. Even when others thought he was late, he was still on time because he had a purpose. Lazarus, he was dead. He was already dead for 4 days. And they were kind of grumbling because he didn't come right away. Jesus was on time. I think there's a song that to that effect, that even when we think he's late, he's always on time. Being punctual, he was still on time. We have sometimes the opinion, well, I'm not late. You just started before I got there. That's not the right opinion to have, actually. Be punctual. Whether it's in church on Sunday mornings or to your job, or you say you're going to be someplace at a certain time, be punctual as much as is possible. Associating with good people. Find my scripture here in Numbers 11. Verses 4 through 6. And the mixed multitude, notice that, the mixed multitude. So these were people that had married into the Jewish people. The mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And this, the latter part of this verse then implies that the mixed multitude kind of did this first, and the others followed. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. The mixed multitude in this case, and in other cases as well, caused them to also grumble and complain. They led them astray in other instances that we have in the scripture. Hosea 7, 8, and 9. We'll not turn to this, but there we have a couple words there that stood out to me. It says they mixed themselves, and also it gives the impression of strangers among us. there again. They chose those people. They were not forced to be there, but they were mixed with people that were not following the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications or evil associations corrupt good manners. Be clear in your communication. James 5:12 says, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Be clear in your communication. You can make yourselves clear without using a bunch of four-letter words. Now, there's some people, maybe they have trouble doing that. I remember a lady, I think I may have shared this before, but my parents often associated when I don't think the women's prison is in Coldwater anymore, is it? Anybody know that? There used to be a women's division there, and they went in once a month to the ladies. And there was a lady there that my mom got to be good friends with, wrote letters back and forth. Even after she was finally released, she would write mom occasionally. But anyways, this lady became a Christian. And she said, I swore so badly. She said, when I became a Christian, I actually had to stop and think of how I'm going to say what I want to say without swearing. Be clear in your communications. And you can do that without a bunch of four-letter words. And the last one I have noted here is a proper amount of rest. It's very important. In our hectic day, in our lifestyles that we live, fast-paced, get a proper amount of rest. And I learned this when I was young. I learned this firsthand. There was a group of boys, I think I was in the, I'm going to guess maybe in the ninth grade. One of my friends said, come on over Friday night, we're going to have a boys' party. My parents are not at home, just come on over. Bring your shotguns, we'll go rabbit hunting. And so we had a good old time. And I tried to stay awake all night, but I finally laid down at 4 o'clock. Then in the morning, one of my friends' brother was older. He had a license, and he took me home. That's when my dad had the cabinet shop. And my dad made me work all day in the cabinet shop. I thought I was not going to make it. I learned young that I need my rest. I need more rest than a lot of people do. I aim for 7.5 to 8 hours of rest a night. When I was in VS, there was a guy there. We had a lights out time of 10 o'clock. And he got in trouble quite often for not having his light out by 10 o'clock. He said, I can't sleep all night. He said, 5 hours is about it for me. And I know that's the case for some people. But get your mind. You know how much rest you need to function properly. Get the right amount of rest. Helps us think clearly. Helps us to avoid temptation. Probably many of you could say, yeah, I know that. I know that for a fact as well. There were times when I got tired, my body was run down. That's when Satan got to me and tempted me. And I fell many times. It helps us to be rational. There are times when we need to say, I'm going to bed. Turn the lights out when you leave. Maybe not literally, but in effect, people need to know, hey, I'm tired. I need to get my rest. Especially, you would say, well, if you're pulling a 16 white house down the road, I want you to be rested up. I don't want to meet you if you're tired. That's all I have to share. I hope you can take what I've shared this morning, put it into use, maybe just reminders of taking care of business. Whether that is a business or whether it's in your personal life, take care of the things that need to be taken care of. Let's stand for prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you that you are our Lord, you are our King, you are our Savior, but you are also practical. Help us, Lord, to take these things to heart, to put them into practice into our life, whether it be something new or just a reminder. Lord, help us to be the person that you want us to be people of integrity, to be honest, to be upright, to be truthful. Scripture says, and we read, that our lights would shine to those around us. May your name be honored and glorified by what people would see in our lives. Bless us through the remainder of the day. We pray for Brother Irvin as he shares tonight. Would you bless him as well? We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.